the postman asleep in the sand. He's got a get well card to deliver. He's gonna do it by hand. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Gray Breshin, who's an historical geographer and author. He's currently a visiting scholar at the UC Berkeley Department of Geography and the founder and project scholar of California's Living New Deal Project. His books include Farewell Promised Land, Waking from the California Dream, and Imperial San Francisco, Urban Power, Earthly Ruin. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Gray Breshin.
Thank you, Ian.
And today there are demonstrations in Berkeley to save the venerable Berkeley's post office built in 1914, its main post office that has priceless New Deal artworks in it. And I take it that the demonstrators are focusing a lot of their ire on the husband of California Senator Dianne Feinstein. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. He actually is the chairman and large stockholder in a company called CBRE, the world's largest commercial real estate company, which last summer got an exclusive contract with the U.S. Postal Service to sell the public's property, and also apparently to advise the Postal Service on which properties it should sell, which means that what was the first line of post offices that are going up and are in some of the most expensive downtown real estate in the country. And many of them have really irreplaceable buildings and also public art in them.
So he is also a regent of the University of California, is he not, Richard Blum?
He's not just a regent, he's the alpha regent. He basically is the most dominant of all the regents. So a great deal of what goes on in the university now is out of Richard Blum's office, one of which, by the way, is now on the UC Berkeley campus. He actually, it's the first time I know of in which a regent has actually built an office building on the Berkeley campus.
Well, he
named it after himself, I should say.
He must be feeling a little bit of a heat, though, from the protesters. The signs and the flyer distributed says, Richard Blum, philanthropist, opportunist, thief of our national heritage. Is this message getting to him?
I don't think it's getting to him because he's on a business trip in Asia right now, though I'm sure that his staff is informing him of this, as would be Senator Feinstein's staff as well, too. Because they're very scrupulous about managing their reputations, as is the San Francisco Chronicle, which has managed it for them for many years and really covered for them. So they're not used to unflattering portrayals, let's say.
So Gray Breshin, again, historical geographer and author, currently visiting scholar at the UC Berkeley Department of Geography and founder and project scholar of California's Living New Deal Project. And you're involved in these demonstrations. You've been involved for some time in trying to save the Postal Service from the United States Congress. I mean, in 2006, Congress passed the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act, which transfers $5.5 billion each year from the Postal Service to the U.S. Treasury. Recently, the U.S. Postal Service defaulted on their payments, but they've paid so far. The Treasury is holding $45.3 billion in the Postal Service Retirement Health Fund, and this was a unique imposition by the Congress to make the Postal Service pay, I think, 75 years worth of retirement benefits forward. Nobody else has been required to do this. It looks as though at the time the Republican Congress was finding a way to essentially destroy the post office. And of course, President Bush signed on to this as well. So give us some background on why the post office is stuck with this onerous and draconian financial regime that's bankrupting it.
Well, no one's really quite sure how that legislation got through. It's a little mysterious, and I believe it was also bipartisan, although it would, of course, be led by the Republicans. There are many neoliberal Republican libertarians in particular who believe that there shouldn't be any public domain, any public service whatsoever, but the Postal Service is relatively popular as a federal agency because it provides universal and honest and reasonably priced service. And so they had to do an end run. So in 2006, as you said, they fed the Postal Service this cyanide pill, requiring it to essentially bankrupt itself by pre-funding these pensions. It was an ingenious act. It seems to have just flown below everybody's radar. And so now, of course, the news that it's totally insolvent, that gets into the news. But what doesn't get into the news is that this is a splendid way to essentially privatize the public's property, the huge real estate portfolio, which the taxpayers have paid for over actually several centuries, is now being liquidated by the U.S. Postal Service, by the Postmaster General, Mr. Donahue. And if you look at the Board of Governors of the Postal Service right now, mostly appointed by Bush II, some appointed by Obama, they are, to a man and a woman, people committed to the privatization of our postal system. They're not committed to public service. What they are committed to is to privatizing the service, turning it over to public to private agencies, and at the same time, liquidating the real estate. So it's morphed from the U.S. Postal Service has morphed from a public service agency into a real estate agency using a broker, a private broker, Richard Blum's company, CBRE, to sell and market those buildings. Unfortunately, as I said, the highest value real estate is going for sale first, although everything will be available very soon as they drive it into the ground. And among those are post offices all through Southern California. I'm sure many of your listeners know this. Venice was just sold and privatized by Joel Silver, who now owns the old Venice post office. La Jolla is going up for sale. Fullerton, Santa Barbara, Beverly Hills. Really, there's a disproportionate representation in California because our real estate is so high. The only runner-up is the Gold Coast of Greenwich, the Greenwich Gold Coast in Connecticut. But it's really, you know, we're losing magnificent buildings and the public art that, as I said, my parents paid for. And these buildings and the art are unique in the United in the world. No other nation in the world has an inheritance like this. It's just disappearing. It's being stolen from us, actually, and the press has been absolutely negligent in covering what's going on. So that's why we wanted to have the protest today. It's the first time that Regent Blum and his wife, Senator Feinstein, have been identified as parties in this theft of the public domain.
And Dr. Gray Breschen, the United States Postal Service was established in Article 1 of the Constitution, and Benjamin Franklin was our first Postmaster General. So it's in the historical DNA of this country. I know that Senator Bernie Sanders, who I speak with fairly often, has been trying to save the Postal Service. He's also been trying to change the law to unshackle the Postal Service from the restrictions it has from doing banking and other issuing fishing licenses, et cetera, stuff that the Post Office used to do to make it more competitive. It seems that the Kool-Aid that the press is drinking is that the Postal Service is going out of business because of competition from UPS and FedEx. But what they're not talking about is how the Congress is deliberately trying to bankrupt it, one, and two, how the Congress has restrained the Postal Service from delivering services at a community level that they used to deliver.
Yes, that's absolutely right. The press has been incredibly lazy on this whole issue. It doesn't want to really go into what's actually happening. It will sometimes mention the 2006 requirement. What it usually mentions is the Internet made us do it. That's the official line. Because mail volume is, of course, admittedly dropping, but it still provides, the Postal Service provides a vital service that is very much needed and mandated in the Congress, and it hasn't been really covering this. Bernie Sanders, of course, is concerned about the Postal Service, not only because of the principle that's involved, the public principle, but he comes from a largely rural state. And if the Postmaster General is successful, we won't have a Postal Service in about 5 to 10 years. And then all the rural towns through the country will essentially not have Postal Service. And that was why Ben Franklin and others since him, other postmasters since him, required the U.S. Postal Service to provide universal service so that anybody living out in the wilds of Wyoming or Vermont or whatever get the same kind of service that we in the cities get. And that's, of course, expensive, even though the Postal Service is self-funded. With the privatization of the Postal Service, essentially all the small towns, the rural areas, will lose postal delivery because that's not profitable for UPS and FedEx.
But the demonstrations that took place today in San Francisco to save Berkeley's 1914 Maine post office and to demonstrate against Richard Blum, the wife of Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose office the demonstrators were in front of, holding up signs calling her husband, Richard Blum, philanthropist, opportunist, thief of our national heritage. This is an added outrage that not only has the Congress is deliberately destroying the post office to allow for the privatization of it, but these real estate sharks are jumping in and grabbing all this prime property. That's what these demonstrations are about.
Oh, yes, exactly. It's exactly what Naomi Klein has talked about, disaster capitalism. You know, you provoke a crisis and then you profit from it, in this case by privatizing the public's land. You could say they're stealing the public's land, like the robber barons did in the 19th century. This is just happening in the 21st century, and instead the lands being public lands, you know, out in the wilderness or on the outskirts of the city, this is prime property in the downtowns of every American city and town. And if those cities are thriving, like Santa Monica, for example, you know, that property is worth a tremendous amount of money. So the public's real estate portfolio is worth literally billions of dollars. And anybody who could get their hands on it would stand to make a very handsome profit from that. And I can't imagine that having a chairman of the board of a company like CBRE, who is married to the most powerful senator in Congress, could have hurt CBRE in getting that contract, that exclusive contract, to deal, to sell and advise the Postal Service on its properties.
And the tragedy here is that not only do these real estate sharks like the senators, Feinstein's husband, get the inside track, get to choose who buys these properties, they also, from what I understand, a lot of these properties, because they're in prime locations, are destroyed. And all of this priceless New Deal art, the murals, etc., are gone forever. I mean, that's a part of what people are demonstrating about, aren't they? Trying to preserve American history?
Yes, that's true. The buildings are often not destroyed because they're so beautiful that people like to turn them into restaurants or bed and breakfasts or even private homes, real estate offices, etc., but they're no longer public as they were intended to be. And so that's what we're concerned about. And then the art itself is left in a kind of legal limbo where nobody's quite sure who owns it or has responsibility for it. The Postal Service has, theoretically, it still owns that. But in the case of Venice, California, Joel Silver, the new owner of that building, effectively owns the beautiful Biberman mural on the history of Venice. It's theoretically still owned by the Postal Service. This is a tremendous loss, because in so many towns across the United States, the only public art is the art that was painted in the post office, and that art typically reflects the local people back to them, and especially in the work that they did. And that was very important, of course, during the Depression, because work was on everybody's mind. How do you get work? How do you get self-respect through work? And I would say that the same thing is absolutely true now. We're in a kind of minor depression, unless you're actually in it, and then it's every bit as great as the one of the 1930s. And so people need work, and it's to the Roosevelt administration's credit that they actually depicted people doing work in so many of our post offices. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that they actually want to get rid of them, because it reminds people that work is the source of one's livelihood and one's self-respect. And if you can just get rid of it, well, people don't think about it as much, perhaps. It's like lowering the flag on these beautiful buildings, which reminded you of your connection with the federal government. And they inspired pride in you. They were meant to, because they're so well built, so well embellished, that we're losing a vital connection to the government that is supposed to serve us all, not just a few people, like Richard Blum and his wife, Dianne Feinstein.
Well, just in closing, Dr. Gray Breschen, how much of this is being driven by ideology with all of this dogma about free enterprise and big government being evil? We heard a lot of that, in this last campaign. What I find a little bit phony about that argument about free enterprise being virtuous and government being evil is that these people like Richard Blum, who are married to United States senators, clearly have some inside track in getting these deals and are able to literally steal the fruits of public labor and public property and make a killing. And that's not free enterprise. That's rigged enterprise.
Well, absolutely. And most of these people, as I said, are either neoliberals or, which I think Richard Blum is, the idea that everything should be run more like a business, everything as much as possible should be privatized and deregulated. Or you're libertarians, in which you don't believe in government at all, which you really sort of idealize as anarchy. So there's a real ideology behind this. But at the same time...
But it's so self-serving, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not the ideology is just window dressing for greed.
Well, of course. And I was just back in Washington last week talking to various people about this, and they said, you know, this business model doesn't make any sense to sell off buildings that they own and then lease space elsewhere in crummy buildings that will provide poor service. It doesn't make any financial sense. And I said, you know, it does if you are CBRE or if you're an ideologue who doesn't believe in government at all. It makes perfect sense. But for those of us who depend upon the post office and would like to have better service from it rather than the reduced service we have now, it doesn't make any sense. But once again, Ian, you know, the reason people aren't aware of this is because the press has fallen down so shamefully on doing this. Of course, there's very little investigative reporting anymore, so this hasn't entered into the press. So you have to rely on an invaluable website like SaveThePostOffice.com, the absolutely essential go-to website to find out what's really going on.
Well, Dr. Gray Breschen, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Gray Breschen, who's an historical geographer and author. He is currently a visiting scholar in the UC Berkeley Department of Geography and founder and project scholar of California's Living New Deal Project. His books include Farewell Promised Land, Waking from the California Dream, and Imperial San Francisco, Urban Power, Earthly Ruin. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Mexico's new president.